Hi, this is Diane, and it is Tuesday, February 4th at noon. I'm here with Liz so far. We're waiting for a few other folks to join us before we get started. Liz, did you do your homework last time?
No, I didn't.
So what gets in the way for you of getting your homework done?
Well, last night we were celebrating my birthday.
Aww, happy birthday.
And but anyway, it was good because we had some quality time, my husband and I, with our daughter. So that was good.
Did you do anything exciting?
We just went out to dinner and hung out, and that was good because it's rare that we're just the three of us get to do that. So
awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I know where everybody is. They're usually on time. This is a good on time group. Last time we had like 10 people on this call. We, yes, because we had all four Liz's on.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's one more. Nadja, how are you?
Hi, Dad. How are you?
Happy New Year. I have not heard from you since 2013.
I've been a little absent.
That's all good. It's just nice that you're here today. And I see Leslie. Hi, Leslie.
Hello.
Leslie's a new person this week. How are you?
Good.
And Liz and Nadja are with us. So if you'll oblige me, just because Nadja hasn't been on in a while and Leslie's new, I want to kind of just quickly walk them through the logistics of how we handle the call. And then by then, I think a few other folks will jump in. Are you cool with that?
Sure.
Okay.
Diane usually begins with catch up with everyone. Those who want to share what's going on, and then covers the topic for the day and the different members identify themselves when they speak, so we get to know each other's voices, and then to give us the opportunity for a group wrap-up, and if there's time, helps a volunteer with a specific issue that they're addressing.
Awesome. That was beautiful. I couldn't have done that better myself, Liz. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
So, Nadja and Leslie, why don't you just kind of quickly introduce yourself and tell us where you live and how old your kids are, but specifically the one that has ADHD that you're here focused on.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
You go ahead.
My name is Leslie, and I live in Zeeland, Michigan. Right next door to Holland. We're on the Lake Michigan shore, so we're getting creamed this winter. And I have a 15-year-old son who I am homeschooling. He's doing part of his school at home, getting his core credits, and then he's also enrolled this year at the local tech center that services all the area high schools. And so pretty good program. So he's gone every afternoon now for 3 hours, which is a good thing. So,
yay. Nadja, what about you?
I'm Nadja. I live in London, Ontario, Canada. Yes, and we're getting really creamed too.
Yeah.
we're pretty close to the U.S. border. I'm from Michigan. I have two children. My daughter will be 14 in April, but my son I'm more concerned about. He just turned 12 in December. He's in grade 7, and just it's the social concerns. His maturity level socially is probably 2 to 3 years below his peers. But at the same time, he's incredibly, incredibly intelligent, overly verbal. And I think that sort of masks some of his difficulties or has masked some of his difficulties, but they're really coming out into the forefront now, especially the way kids are at that age. So, and school-wise, we're really getting into trouble, too. He bringing homework home and not doing it, and just that's what I'm dealing with.
Awesome. Thank you. And so I see that Marion and Terry also joined us. Welcome, ladies. I want to introduce you to, I don't know when you dialed in here, but Nadja has been in this group, and she's been, should I say AWOL? She's been unable to join us for the last many weeks, but we're glad you're back. And then Leslie is a new person who just introduced herself as well. So let's just start with our check-in and see how everybody's doing. Last time we talked about, what did we talk about? The triggers, right? And so let's see how everybody did on their homework on managing their triggers. Anybody want to share?
I thought it was curiosity.
Was it curiosity? Oh, wait, I am. You're right. Triggers was 2 times ago. Curiosity. Go for it. How'd you do on curiosity?
Well, for me, this is Marion, and I found it interesting, you know, I was more listening to my child when he was complaining and moaning, and, you know, I picked up a few things that have made me more curious, but I'm still trying to delve into, you know, where to go with it. You know, I got a sense that he feels like he needs to be in control of some things, and so he doesn't necessarily pick the right things, you know, because there's some things he can't control that, you know, we as parents need to make decisions about because of for health reasons, and, you know, but I'm just trying to watch and see how it plays out and ask
questions. So, beautiful observation. I'm wondering how the coming from curiosity changed the dynamic between you and he.
Oh, it's still kind of crazy. I don't know that anything any necessarily huge changes yet. But I think it's trying to give me some more, I keep focusing on trying to be more compassionate with my verbal tones and cues.
Awesome. Awesome. Hi, Tracy. How are you today?
Hey, Diane. How are you?
Good. We're just checking in. People are talking about how curiosity went for them over the last couple weeks. So we're just doing a quick check-in. Anybody else want to share about their experience with curiosity?
I'll share one. Can you hear me okay? I'm in the car.
Yep, we can.
We were at the Super Bowl party, and my child was just so overstimulated and just, you know, acting, quote-unquote, kind of bonkers, and I just took a step back, and I was, instead of him getting in trouble or whatever, I kind of thought, what's going on with him, and then realized, you know, there's junk food and Super Bowl and competition and friends, and he can't help himself, you know, he's trying and he's struggling. It's just a shift for me.
Yeah, great, great. So how did you then engage differently because you could understand what was going on?
Well, I would just call him aside and say, hey, listen, I know it's crazy, you know, the atmosphere is kind of high energy, but can you take it down a half a notch? You know, I wouldn't say that worked great, but at least I wasn't reacting to him or the situation. I was trying something new, you know.
Right, right. And so that's fabulous, Tracy. And I think that it created that space from that normal sort of, oh my gosh, I got to stop this kid from acting up. This is not what I want right now. to really kind of still directing him and still holding him accountable to change his behavior as much as he can, but having a passion for the fact that it's not the easiest thing in this really intense environment.
Yeah.
Right. Any other thoughts on curiosity before we jump into our next topic? Or anybody want to kind of share what major challenges or major successes that they've had over the last couple of weeks?
This is Terry, and you know, I tried to talk with Jordan about, because I was, you know, talking to him a little bit about motivators, and we had a conversation, but we probably should have had a follow-up conversation, but it just gets so frustrating when you talk, and, you know, you talk in the middle of the day when they're medicated and they're, you know, in control and they're conversational, and you think you have a plan and you have buy-in, and then it comes time to execute, and it's like you never had a conversation.
That can be really frustrating. So, and at the same time, I heard you say very quickly that it's about kind of exhaustion and medication wearing out at the end of the day that made it really break down. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, it can even be like, you know, days later when it's not the end of the day and it's still like we never had the conversation.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to take us back to expectations. And so what's a reasonable expectation that you can have around Jordan and as you're creating and building on these agreements?
I don't know. I mean, we put things in place. We put, you know, rewards in place. We put punishments in place. And it just doesn't seem, nothing really seems to reach him for very long. And, you know, I'm to the point where I'm just so sick of trying, because I feel like everything we do maybe is a step forward, but then it's two steps back. And I'm getting very frustrated and find it hard to keep my patience when it's just, never, it's like there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Sorry,
it's
I'm
hard.
A
I mean, it's even, if I were to say this is a marathon and not a sprint, I can just see you rolling your eyes, right? It's frustrating because you want to see some progress and it's hard. So what do you do in those moments to kind of keep your hope up?
Say a lot of prayers. And, you know, I don't know what else.
Well, this is the piece, is that it's really easy to do these things sometimes. And I think that for a lot of us, the first step towards progress are really in noticing how we're handling it. And so even if, you know, and Terry, I can completely commiserate because we've had some step backs in this house as well. And I'm sure all of us have these kind of step back as we step forward. And it can be really extraordinarily frustrating because we feel like we've made an agreement. We feel like we found that thing that works, and then all of a sudden it doesn't. And I think that the thing that I would tell you is that if you can begin to notice how you are handling it differently and just focus on your progress first, it helps for a couple of reasons. One is because it takes the focus off the problem and puts it on the solution. And two, because it's really something more that we can control than our kids. Because as much as we want to be able to control our kids, and our kids are getting older and a lot of us spent the beginnings of their life controlling everything, and that's how we help them to be successful, the more we can kind of let go of that, the easier it becomes. So I would just encourage you to continue to focus on the progress you're making, because I'm sure you are making huge progress. The fact that you were able to sit down and have that conversation with Jordan is huge, and stay calm through the whole thing is probably huge too.
Well,
how does that help?
I have been more aware of, you know, trying to control myself, which sometimes goes well and sometimes doesn't. But at least there is an awareness.
So, and that's honestly, that is so huge. And it, you know, I think that's the piece that we forget is that, you know, a good 60% of this work is about you. You know, we all know that list of stuff that we're supposed to do. It's about figuring out how to make it work. And the best way to make it work is to figure out how to manage yourself to stay in that calm and confident place, because that's where the magic happens. So give me an example, Terry, of one time that you've been calm and confident in the last 2 weeks.
My mind has gone blank. Probably about homework, because we're trying to let him, like, be in charge of his schedule, which is really hard to let go. But I keep telling myself if we don't do it now, it's going to get worse. So I really tried to – it's much harder for my husband to do that than me, so I'm kind of, like, trying to coach him through – remember, we're supposed to be doing this. We know he's probably going to fail, so we got to be prepared for that.
Yeah. Well, but it sounds like, if you know, in those moments where your husband is starting to lose his cool, you're able to be his backup. And that's hugely supportive, I'm sure. Cool. So I see that Beth joined us. Hi, Beth. So we have 7 of us on the call, 8 of us on the call. So I'm going to jump in and talk about the topic for this week. And as I was thinking about it, I think out of habit, I kind of jumped back to triggers, because this conversation that we're going to have today is really a part of the trigger process. And I think that the curiosity conversation we had last time was as well, because, you know, this is all about noticing when we get triggered, when we get off balance, because that's typically what our biggest challenge is as parents, is losing our cool. And so we want to go through the four pieces of the, you know, steps in the process are to, you know, one, you know, notice our triggers, understand what our triggers are. 2, reclaim our brain, whether that's taking a few sips of water or taking a deep breath or saying a mantra or whatever it is that you're doing to kind of get back into the problem-solving part of your brain. 3, choosing a perspective, which is what we're going to talk about today. And 4 is taking action. And so curiosity is an action that you can take. So instead of jumping in with, oh, my gosh, I got to fix this, if you can come from curiosity, it gives you that space. It's kind of a combination of reclaiming your brain and taking action, which is really powerful. Perspective is one of those things that I think is the core of coaching. And, you know, part of what we're empowering you to do as parents is to really take a coach approach with your kids. And so it becomes about how – it's all about how you look at things. And as we were talking, you know, with Terry here, it's like all we can really control is ourselves. And when we go back and look at our triggers, a lot of us get triggered not because of what's really going on right now in the moment, but because of the story we're creating about what might happen in the future. So I think we've talked about this before, but, you know, my trigger is grades, right? And I pull up the grade sheet and I see that there's an F in whatever class. And I immediately go, oh, my gosh, he's got an F. And then suddenly, suddenly he's never making it into a college. He's never going to be amount to anything, and he's living in the basement. So this is what we tend to do, whether it's, you know, they're going to end up in your basement or whether they're going to end up in jail. What we tend to do is we get triggered not because of the F, but because of the story we've created about the potential future that's attached to the F. Or, yeah, I'm going to go back to Tracy and the Super Bowl party. It's less about the acting up at the Super Bowl party and often about the story we create about maybe what other people will think about us if our kid is acting up. Or, what's going to happen when I get home tonight and I'm never going to be able to put them to bed because he's going to be so wound up. Or, you know, whatever it is, typically what we are triggered by is not something real that's happening, but it's about this projected story that we've created, which is a normal story. And I think that this is the thing. I gave a workshop on Friday, my Stress to Success workshop, and we talked a lot about this idea of the fact that, you know, triggers are automatic. When we feel threatened, we automatically go into this fight or flight mode. And that trigger happens whether it's I'm about to be in a car accident or whether it's because I'm worried about something happening in the future. You know, if you're worried about something that's going to happen in the future, it's that same biological response. You go into threat mode. Your brain shuts down. All the blood rushes to your feet so you can fight or run away, because those are literally the only choices we have when we're feeling threatened. So what perspective does is it enables us to look at the situation differently. And so the language I like to use is that if it's not happening right now, it's all a story. You know, so if your child is in jail right now, any story you create about your child ending up in jail in the future is a story. Your child is not 25 and living in your basement. Anything you're saying about the future of him being 25 or her being 25 in your basement is a story. And what happens is that when our brain is faced with a vacuum, we want to have it filled. We can't handle not knowing, so we create a story. And a lot of us, I'm included in this, were raised by depression-era parents who taught us to prepare for the worst. So the stories we tend to create are not the happy, friendly ones. They're the prepare for the worst kind of stories. And so the phrase I want you guys to hear more than anything else in this conversation today is that if you're going to create a story, because it's all a story if it's not happening right now, create a story that makes you feel good. So the example I always give is, I still remember this day very distinctly. It was, my son was in third grade, and I'm sitting at my desk. I was working on a project. I had a deadline, and all of a sudden an email pops in from his teacher that says, I need to see you after school. That's it. That's all the email said. And I start to kind of freak out and go, okay, I can arrange my schedule. I can get over there. And I had to get back to work because I had this deadline. And my mind started to wander, and I was worried about what she wanted to talk to me about, and I couldn't get a hold of her. I couldn't find out. I couldn't understand. I didn't know what he had done or what had happened. All I knew is that she needed me to be at school, and it was going to be 2 hours before I could find out what was really going on. Well, it was getting in the way of my work, and I realized that. And so when I realized that I didn't know what was going on and I didn't know what she wanted to talk to me about, and I knew it was getting in my way because I was completely stressed out by it, I realized in that moment that I was creating a story. And so the gift in that was, I can choose a different story. I can choose a different perspective. So for the next 2 hours, my son was going to get an award, and she wanted to talk to me about the award. And that was how I got through the next 2 hours, was by creating a different story, by creating a different perspective. So that's just one example when we kind of go into this worst-case scenario about perspective. But it's the same sort of thing when we look at our kids. The disability perspective is another one that we talk a lot about at Impact ADHD is, you know, if you can see that this is your child's ADHD that's causing this struggle, and you can create some connection to either, you know, maybe it's a child in the back of the classroom with glasses, you know, and it's like, okay, would I ever ask my child to, you know, not wear their glasses in school and be successful? Would I expect my child to be successful without their glasses? I mean, if we can look at our child as having a challenge, a real disability, it can make a difference in terms of our ability to help them problem solve and our ability to look at the situation differently. So perspective is about finding another way of looking at the situation that could give you a glimmer of hope, something that might be possible, a perspective that might be possible. And the thing I always tell my clients is, you don't have to jump in with both feet. You don't have to be totally bought into this, but it has to be something that you are willing to consider is true. So you need to be willing to consider that just because your child got an F on a paper or in a class, that it doesn't mean that they're going to be living in your basement when they're 28. So what comes up for all of you as I have been talking a little bit about perspective today?
Can you say that again?
What comes up for all of you? You know, what are your thoughts on perspective as I've been talking about it?
Well, I'll jump in. This is Leslie. I'm familiar with the disability perspective, having read about it, and I think that there's confusion sometimes as to, you know, what is ADHD and what is not. But I think that what you've said here is very good stuff. So just having had a confrontation just this morning with my son. So anyways, that's all I have to say right now.
Okay. Thanks, Leslie.
Sorry.
That's all right. Well, anybody else have thoughts?
This is Beth Hopwood. You know, I think I am doing pretty well on the disability perspective thing. I, you know, tell myself many times that, you know, not to get so caught up in just this one grade or this one assignment that can't seem to be get turned in. I'm probably in a different situation from most people in that I'm divorced. And my daughter's father has no disability perspective whatsoever, and is constantly trying to use, you know, the fact that Emily misses assignments as, you know.
Beth, can't hear you right now.
Yeah. You can't hear me?
No, go ahead. You said something about Emily missing assignment. Finish the thought.
Right. So even though I'm able to have the disability perspective, sorry, I don't know what's going on with my phone. Can you still hear me?
Yep, I can.
Okay. Yeah, so it's hard for me not to get sucked into, even though I know that it's not going to necessarily mean she's going to be, you know, living in my garage, that kind of the immediate effects that it has are harder to just, you know, take a deep breath and say, you know, it really doesn't matter in the long run.
So what is it specifically that gets in the way when your husband, when your ex-husband looks at it differently?
Well, because then he says she shouldn't be going to dance because she's not doing her homework, and, you know, it's like, well, she is doing her homework, she's just not turning it in. and she's so low.
Oh, we lost her. So, and I noticed we have, is anybody else having a hard time? Because I noticed that both Nadja and Beth have dropped off, and I just want to double check and make sure you guys can all, other than Beth breaking up, you guys can hear okay?
Yes.
Great. Yes. And, you know, the other thing I just realized we did not do is we didn't take AIM, and we usually do that before I even talk about the topic. So let's just take a minute and get real clear on one particular area where you feel like perspective could help you. And so you may have already kind of done that as I was talking, but just take a minute and be real purposeful about taking AIM on one particular challenge area that you're facing at home right now. And while we're waiting for Beth, if anybody else wants to share their perspective on perspective.
Sorry about that. Did you move on or? Did you give up?
Oh, we kind of did and we kind of didn't. So I remembered in your hanging up that we had not taken AIM, and so I challenged everybody to kind of take a minute and take AIM while we were waiting for you to potentially pop back in. So the question I think I asked you was kind of how is it getting in the way for you when
right.
you take the
simply different... Yeah, simply because even though I know that it's going to turn out okay, it's this you know, sort of immediate friction of, you know, then he says she shouldn't be going to dance and that kind of thing.
And it's difficult because I think that we're surrounded by people who don't take the same perspective. And I think we've talked about this before, that when our friends or family go, well, just tell your kid to work harder or just tell your kid blah, 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 you know, it's they
it's easy for them to say that, and it makes it even harder when it's somebody who's you're trying to co-parent with. Best, so I can imagine that's really difficult.
Yeah.
So, you know, part of what we can do to the extent that we can is around education. And so, I love that Liz kind of kicked us off today by talking about what we do in these groups. And I think that part of what, for me, I know when I know something, when I've learned something, it's because I can explain it to something else and to somebody else. And so I don't know if that helps at all, Beth, but, you know, finding ways to share and educate to the extent you can. I know it's got to be difficult, but, maybe it's about taking a different perspective with your daughter's father that could help you to get through this challenge.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even think about it like that.
So what perspective do you take that would help you to feel a little bit better about the dynamic between the two of you?
Well, probably just that he really doesn't understand and that I can't make him understand and I can't make him want to get educated.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of, you almost take a disability perspective with the people who don't understand, which is that, you know, this is where they are. This is the reality of where they are. And it's focusing in on what you can control and what you can do.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So thoughts from other folks on perspective?
This is Leslie again. Sometimes I think for me is that I get tired of having to do the same things over and over again. I was listening to the last person, and certainly I am trying to co-parent with someone who sometimes gets it and then a lot of times doesn't. And so I think accepting the fact that I'm going to have to continue to explain things, and if that's what I have to do to explain the same things over and over and over again, I think if I can accept that as part of my perspective, then maybe I won't get so frustrated with it. It's like...
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think that's the thing is, like, I didn't talk about this in the disability perspective, but if we use the example of the child in the wheelchair at the bottom of the stairs, you know, it's like we would never look at that child and say, okay, run up the stairs, and get frustrated because our child can't run up the stairs. We would help our child to figure out how to get up the stairs, and we would take them one step at a time, and we would come up with a solution, whether it's carrying them or building a lift or teaching them to pull themselves up by their arms. You know, we would know that the reality is that they can't go up the stairs. And I think that from a perspective, the perspective that I think is often the most important one is the thing that frustrates us the most, whether it's the saying the same thing over and over again, or whether it's the, why did this work today and it didn't tomorrow, or whether this is, why can't he, you know, he's so smart, why can't he just? The perspective is, he can't. And it's not that it's okay that he can't, but what's my job in order to help him to figure out how to take that next step rather than being frustrated that they can't?
Diane, this is Marion, and that sort of just hit with me because I just read one of the articles on grief, and for us being new, you know, relatively new within the last 6 months with this diagnosis for a teenager, you know, we sit there and go, why can't he just do it?
I don't get it because my brain doesn't think that way. And then it makes me think, you know, that grief thing was like, you know, I need to realize he is a different person. And it's not going to be what I had imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it is, you know, accepting that. And then, you know, and a lot of times I'm doing a lot more education on this than my husband. He's trying in between work. But, you know, I have to look at him and go, he can't. It's just not in his makeup. His brain just doesn't work that way. And through coaching, hopefully we're going to figure out how to parent him so that we understand what's going on in his brain.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's a beautiful testament, and I love it that I love Ann Keaton's work in this article on grief, and I think that we forget that that's part of what we go through when we get to this place, is that we grieve the vision we had. And I think that can be so freeing, because I think it's when we sit there with the perspective that this has to change, we have to fix this, this has to change, it's crazy making and it's stress producing. And so it's about finding another story to tell yourself, you know, instead of this is bad, this can't be, find a story that makes you feel good.
Right. Yeah, I try to remind myself, and I don't do a very good job all the time, but that the person that my son is today doesn't necessarily, you know, mean that that is the person that he's going to be. And when I look at the people that I know that did not do so well in school, struggled through their teen years, barely made it through high school, and yet have become very successful adults. But it took them a while, and they kind of had to find their own way. And when I can land on that, I'm okay. But then day to day, it still is. It's very hard. I appreciate the thought of the story about the future.
So what do you all do to remember that it is a story, and that you can choose a different perspective?
I have to write it on the bathroom mirror. take a fine tip dry erase marker and write notes.
Yeah. What about anybody else? What do you do to remember?
I just have to take a deep breath sometimes when I'm in the middle of the moment and remove myself and, you know, calm myself down and go, it's not going to be like this forever. This too shall pass.
Like that. That's actually, I've heard other people use that same that same phrase, this too shall pass. It gets back to the threat cycle, because typically when we're stuck in that thought, that crazy making story that we've created, no matter how much of it might be real, we've shut down. And so we've got to get to the place where we can even access the other perspectives, because typically we're just in that threatened mode. That's typically where we end up. So when is taking a different perspective the most difficult for you guys?
I think for me, sometimes when other people try to give you advice, you know, and you could think, well, they just don't know the situation, but sometimes, you know, and they may not, but there may be something they're saying that could allow me to look at it differently.
So it's trying to find the truth in if somebody has a different perspective than yours, it's in trying to find the truth in what they said instead of standing as strongly in what you disagree with in it.
Right.
You mean? Yeah. And it's easy because we've got a vested interest because it's our opinion.
I find that the perspective is the most difficult thing when it really comes down to the dynamics in the family. And so, you know, I've got a 15-year-old boy who's all full of hormones, and, I mean, if he was an ADHD, it still would be kind of tough. And then I don't know. I think we're all just so frustrated with everything. Dad's frustrated. I'm frustrated. Patrick's frustrated. Everybody's just frustrated. So we're a mess right now. I probably need to back up and do some identifying of triggers. And, you know, I have a room that I go to and close the door. So.
Right.
Sometimes the dad and Patrick, it's like, all right, well, I don't know. You guys just last man standing wins. So I don't know if this is helping anything, but.
No, and I think it does. I mean, I think that that's the piece of it. And I think it's about knowing what you need to do to get to the, so there's two pieces of this. One is knowing what you need to do to get to the place where you can even look at a different perspective. And then the second piece of it is figuring out what the perspective should be. And I think that I just kind of would close the conversation in perspective by saying that the other big piece of this is our kids and how they get stuck in stuff and they end up in a defeatist mindset. And I think that this is part of what was in the workbook. But it's really important to notice that, you know, just like the threat cycle, our kids get stuck in stories. They're like, I'll never pass. Why should I bother? Why should I bother try to write stuff down in a planner because I'll never be able to do it. You know, and they get very easy for them to get stuck in a particular perspective. But if you could find a way to help them, same way with you, find a perspective that they are willing to consider to be true, it can make all the difference for them as well. So is there anyone in particular that has a challenge area that they'd like to get some laser coaching on? We've got a few minutes here. We can dig in if folks are in need. I can't tell if you guys are all being nice or whether you guys are all doing okay.
So what was the question again?
So we can do about 5 minutes of laser coaching if somebody has a particular issue that they want to get some coaching around. So let's do our checkout questions and we'll see what kind of comes out of that and we'll go from there. So on the wrap up, at the end of each session, we take a minute to answer four questions. What did I learn about today? What did I focus on today? And what became clear? How can you apply this to your life right now? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And how can you set yourself up for success? So take just a minute and jot down your answers to those questions. If you're in your workbook, I think we're on page 35. And take us back. So, Liz, do you mind sharing a little bit about what came up for you through this conversation today?
I felt like this ability to choose your perspective is very liberating, that you can choose not to sabotage yourself with your attitude. So applying it to my life right now, I think just trying to kind of keep that mantra in my mind that I can choose to be positive and not always be expecting daily challenges to end up negatively.
Mm-hmm. Is there any one particular area where you feel like the less than favorable perspective is getting in your way?
Yeah, I would say in the morning, getting my daughter up and out of bed, that we often have clashes with that. And so I'm trying to be curious about what's triggering that, and also if I work on my perspective, that it's not always going to be a battle, that'll be helpful. For example, this morning my daughter got up by herself and got ready, and we got to school on time without any arguments. And it just came out of nowhere. And so I know she can do that, and we'll discuss how we can make that happen more often.
Yeah. Yep.
So can we talk about this?
Go ahead.
Can we talk about this as a group? I mean,
sure.
Like,
absolutely.
Like, this is like the number one. I tell Patrick, nothing else can happen until you get out of bed. I mean, you can't. Nothing can happen, and it's like the square one that we can't get past. So what are other people doing? I'm to the point where it's like, all right, well, let's just let the natural consequences happen. The schoolwork doesn't go, and he doesn't get to the tech center, and that doesn't seem like a good solution.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
What are other folks doing with their mornings?
One thing for me, I guess it really does go back to perspective. It's helped calm me in the mornings when my son just doesn't want to get out of bed. I mean, he's 13, and I think I took it back to the curiosity. I was like, why doesn't he want to get out of bed? Well, you know, he hates school. So I was like, well, if I hated school, I wouldn't want to get out of bed either. And once, you know, I kind of put it into his perspective, and it calmed me down. And I mean, he's still getting out of bed at the last minute, but it's been a little calmer. It hasn't been so chaotic. Now, Dad still gets antsy waiting for him to get to the car, but, you know, it's happening.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? I have a different angle I do. This is Tracy. Sometimes if the week is just really, we're having a lot of challenges, I'll set my alarm 10 minutes early, and I'll put on this really relaxing music for 10 minutes before I get out of bed. Well, it kind of shifts my I dread getting up, and I dread the next 45 minutes to from that
to something just more calm and peaceful, and it just is what it is, and keep moving with peace. You know what I mean? Instead of dreading it.
Yeah. Well, and for me, in fact, I dealt with a morning trying to get my son out of bed this morning, and you know, I think this perspective shift for me was that he's not awake until he's not actually out of bed until his feet are on the floor, and it's my job to help him to get up out of bed because he can't do it on his own always. And so if it becomes my job, it's kind of like I take it from a problem-solving perspective, which is, okay, here he is. He's having a difficult time getting out of bed. What can I do? And you go into your bag of tricks, and it's like, do I need humor? Do I need a motivator? Do I need inspiration? Do I need, you know, do I need to yell? Sometimes, you know, you need to yell. You need to, you know, it's about, but the perspective is that it's my job to help him get out of bed because he can't do it on his own. And that's the shift that I think makes a difference to start with. But Leslie, what I would encourage you to do is you haven't gone through the parent manual exercise
right.
yet, and you get that as part of the, it's on the website for the members as well if you didn't have that before you remember. But if you take this particular area and take aim and go through the four areas of, you know, looking at your expectations, looking at brain health, looking at systems and structures, and looking at positive parenting, and just start building, you know, a list, small list of things that you could rely on that would enable you to, you know, try something different. Because the reality is for most of us, the same solution does not work every day. You know,
right.
typically on Monday, my son will get up no problem. On Tuesday, because he's exhausted from Monday, he almost never gets out of bed on his own. You know, it's that I can see that cycle, but it just, you know, it's never the same every day. And I think that I've heard that a lot from my clients as well. So, you know, it's about building your arsenal and having a bunch of tricks that you can try rather than figuring out that there's that. And that's the subtle shift in perspective. It's not that there is one solution that will get my child out of bed every day. It's my job to be creative and help my son to get out of bed every day.
Hey, Diane.
Yeah.
This is Terry. What parent manual online thing are you talking about?
So, back in December, we did a promotion around the ADHD Parent Manual, which is a video that Elaine and I created that walks you through the parenting action model. And on the members section of the webpage, you go to the members login, and the login, for those of you who don't remember it, is PSS2013. There's a link that says ADHD Parent Manual. And you can click there and download it, and it's an MP4 that you can watch and listen to it. It walks you through the whole parenting action model. It's a great complement to the work that we've done, and it takes you back to some of those first lessons that we did where we talked about taking aim and all the different steps in the process.
Okay.
Make sure I connect. And if you can't find the link, send me an email, and I will send you the link again and show you where it's at.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else in terms of where they're going to focus for the next 2 weeks? Can't tell if you guys have not decided or if you're just being private today. Tracy, what about you? What are you going to focus in on?
Just shifting the perspective, continuing to do, it's kind of a curiosity thing for me too. Get curious about what's going on and then how can I shift instead of, you know, he's being so mean to his friends, he'll never have any friends when he's older. Just shifting, you know, he's struggling, and how can I help him?
Yeah. So what are you considering, what are you willing to consider as true as another story?
Oh, he will have friends when he's older. He's such a, you know, he's a big-hearted, sweet, loving kid. He just gets out of control. So I guess just focusing on the sweet, big heart inside of him, and he's real fun. So focusing on that stuff and planning for him to, or thinking that he will learn the other stuff.
Well, and here's the other thing that I know is that, you know, you're teaching him such great ways of interacting with other people, and the relationship that you're creating with him is absolutely setting him up for success and establishing other relationships in his life. And so sometimes it's about finding ways to be their friend. Sometimes you've got to be their parent mm-hmm. sometimes, but you're teaching them those social skills and those ways of interacting, and I know you're doing that very well. Anyone else? What became clear for you in our call today? Carrie, where are you going to take this?
Yeah, for, just realizing I can create such a negative story out there. And that's, you know, I think I knew I did it, but I didn't, you know, I didn't realize how, you know, until you said it, it's like, I do that. And I've got to change that. Yeah.
And we all do it. I know that makes it feel better, normalizing it. But
yeah, but it's like I didn't realize the impact. I think that's the biggest thing. I didn't realize how, you know, that's going to keep me from showing compassion because I'm going to think, oh, my gosh, I'm going to get stressed because, you know, you're going to be out there. You're going to be – you're never going to get a job and because you flunked math.
So what story are you willing to consider other than the you're never going to get a job because you flunked math?
Oh, he is quite capable of doing it. He's very smart. And, yeah, just see where I, you know, offer assistance. And, yeah, you know, I try to take myself and get, you know, see if I can figure out what he's feeling, you know, put myself in his shoes. If I can, to help change my perspective.
Awesome. You know, this just kind of popped into my head as we were talking, and I'll remember to talk about it tomorrow with the group. But the other perspective that can be helpful in terms of perspective shift is if you continue to focus on the problem you're trying to solve. And so if you get into the point where it's like, why can't he do this? Why can't she do that? Why is this happening? You know, so you're focusing on this thing instead of the problem. You know, the problem is that I have a child who can't get out of bed in the morning. That's the problem. How can I solve this problem? And it changes the perspective because you're focused in literally on something you can control, which is you can help solve a problem. You can't fix your child, but you can solve a problem. And so I've got a rock that I carry in my purse, and one side palm says, problem wants the solution. And so I try to remember to focus in on the problem and the solution rather than focusing on the kid. So I don't know if that's a help for you in closing, but that's kind of my parting thought in terms of perspective. Any last thoughts from all of you? I think my chatty moms were gone today. I have to go back and figure out who was missing that's always chatty.
I'm practicing not being so chatty.
Well, you did a good job. I felt, yeah. Any other parting thoughts?
Not that I have ADHD or anything.
Yeah. Thank you all for a good call today. Hopefully you will do some homework around perspective. If you have thoughts you want to share, make sure you share them out on Facebook in the private forum. Or if you have questions or you want to follow up, feel free to send me an email, and I will talk to you. We are in 2 weeks on February 18th, and we are talking about where to focus. It should be a great conversation, both for us and for our kids. So, look forward to talking to you guys in a couple weeks. Have a good week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you. Bye.